¿Qué ondas, primos?
Primas.
Y primes.
Welcome to my...
My primos.
My...
Primo.
Podcast.
My name is Freddy.
My name is Kevin Garcia.
My name is Elia Maria Madrid.
Well, this is Chukuma, whenever I can make it.
My Primos Podcast discusses all things fandom and pop culture.
From comic books...
Movies...
To whatever obsession we have this week.
But with a Latine...
Latine...
My Latine...
Perspective. Remember, we're all primos.
We're all primes.
We're all primos.
No matter what part of the world we're from.
¿Qué onda, primos? I'm just kidding.
Whoa. Look at overzealous Elia. Wow, primos. She took off with it. Damn. I'm taking a second to look up a penguin. Oh, a Hello Kitty penguin.
That's for real.
That's what I was looking for. But the cholo one that Kevin Garcia stopped mentioning here.
The cholo.
And all right. You want me to find you the cholo one? Pause. Be right back.
Oh.
Well,
this is staying in the recording, by the way. It's staying. This part is staying, Primos.
This is show and tell.
Hope you enjoy
this portion.
Show and tell time. Well, Kevin Garcia, you broke everybody's heart. Thank you for doing that.
Okay,
I will find it. I love that shirt. I wear it all the time.
Oh, look at him. He's worried. I don't blame you. I have a sad story. When a friend came over to wash, she was. You know how you. I feel sure we'd get into this.
Uh-oh.
¿Qué ondas, primos y primas? And welcome back to my Primos Podcast. My name is Primo Freddy, and with me tonight is my primo and yours, Mr. Kevin Garcia.com. Me? Say what's up, Kevin.
What's up, Freddy?
Well, what? No, I don't like it.
Doesn't feel right, does it?
Stop. Doesn't feel right.
Nope. Doesn't feel right.
And, of course, rounding out the trio tonight, returning. We haven't scared her off yet, primos. It's Elia Maria, Spiced Illustration. Say what's up, Elia.
I'm scared to say anything anymore. It just ruins the vibe. Everyone doesn't like it.
You kickstarted the episode.
Yeah, I was out busy with my Kickstarter, and you guys were all talking about me while I wasn't here.
Yeah.
That's true. Congratulations, Mr. Kevin Garcia, on your Kickstarter.
Thank you to all the primos out there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So I haven't gotten my stuff.
All the pages are drawn. We just got to get them colored now.
Oh, yeah.
Hold them accountable.
I have to figure out how to letter them. That's my job.
With
lettering. You can do that. But primos, let me stop before we jump into this potpourri of a show we have planned for you guys tonight. Remember, just follow the show at My Primos Podcast. Listen to us week to week, sometimes week to week, on all your streaming platforms of choice, including video now. So here we are. You know,
we are Kevin Garcia is.
Yes, essentially. Weekly. But at My Primos Podcast, of course, myprimospodcast.com. Check out all our posts, my reviews there. If you like movie reviews, they're just really honest in your face. Kevin Garcia whispered in my ear today that I should do more with that. We don't know. We'll see what happens. But of course, Primos, tonight we're going to bring you some conversations of what we've been watching, reading into, and just kind of catch up with everybody. But Mr. Kevin, you were saying your Kickstarter was successful.
I did my Kickstarter. We talked about it a few episodes back, World's War Comics. And it was almost on the wire, but like we made it past our goal. So it's very good. Ronaldo Garza, he's already drawn the pages. Gonna get Michael Woods to color it. I've already got all of the cover artists that I've been working with are doing great. Freddy Lopez Jr., man, he is amazing. I told him from the beginning that the second I had this idea for a story, I was like, I want Freddy to do the cover. And he did the cover. And then he's just kept drawing the characters because he's had fun with it. Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. It's one of those things where people are expecting me to like jump for joy, and it's hard for me to do that because it's like, until it's in my hands, it's hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that being said, I've also got some people that are following me on TikTok that are posting fan art of the characters already. So I was like, that's
cool.
Comics aren't even out yet. So that's really cool.
That's cool. But are you worried with your Kevin Garcia that TikTok will be gone and then you have to start over?
You know, I kept telling people over and over again, oh, don't worry about it, because there's no way Biden would sign anything on an election year, even if it passed the Senate, but it's not likely to pass the Senate. And then I went back and looked at the actual information about it, and I was like, a lot of Democrats in Congress voted for it, and Biden has officially said he will sign it. And I'm like, is he trying to not get reelected? Is that what his goal is right now? And I'm not saying that because like TikTok is an important demographic, but because the base of both parties is going to vote. You want to get people that don't normally vote to vote. And let's be blunt, TikTok is young people. Young people don't always vote. This is not going to encourage them to go vote. You know what I mean? It's basically like he's trying to not get reelected. Like, what the heck? That being said, I'm choosing not to worry about it right now. My goal had been to get to 10K, and I imagine I will get to 10K the day that they ban TikTok.
Oh, man. Although, sad.
That's what's going to happen, Kevin. Like, I got to 10K.
You know what?
I still need to get to 10K to release the naked gingerbread Kevin picture, too. And we're close.
The world does need that.
We do need a naked gingerbread Kevin.
And why stop at gingerbread? Mm. Anyway, the that reminds me though.
Patreon,
Patreon, guys.
If we had a Patreon, you could. No, that's not. That's a different kind of paid.
Primos, at me if you're down for a Patreon, I'll make something happen. If you guys are really down and want to support the show and help us get naked Kevin fan art,
and if you're really into Freddie, exactly. And if you're really into Freddie, we can make it an OnlyFans instead.
Whoa.
Hey yo.
Hey, we can make some lewds. I know someone that draws lewds.
I know someone that draws really funny ones. They're really good.
There you go. Look at Elia. So how have you been, Elia, since it's been about a week or so since we last saw and spoke to each other? How are things? Where are you? What's up?
I'm good. I got caught up on like almost all of my work, so it's a relief. I'm definitely, you know, I'm an organizer.
Hey, man.
No, I'm good.
There you go. Get it done.
But yeah, now I have time to consume media. So tell me what to watch. Tell me what to read.
You, if you say that to somebody like me, I'm just like, I know, so much.
Mm-hmm. See, my reaction is always, so much. What kind of stuff do you like? And then I'll be like, okay, then try this. You know,
yeah, I'm not as picky.
I don't consider myself super picky, but I do know there's things that I gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. And last week I was at South by Southwest where I had access to a bunch of different movies, and there's movies that I wouldn't normally go watch, but since I already had a ticket to it anyway, I went to watch them. So I ended up enjoying a lot of things that I probably wouldn't have seen. So it's like, everybody's got stuff, even if you're not like picky, there's stuff you gravitate towards. Like
Well, let's talk about Kevin Garcia. A moment ago before we started the show, you said you lost a really cool shirt, which I'm going to leave in the show. You said you were going to bring it out. You lost it. But funny enough, I used to have a very...
It's in my messy house.
Somewhere with your rat tail.
Right? Yeah. It's probably with the rat tail.
But I was going to tell a story there. You know, you lost something that you really enjoyed because someone made that, right? You bought it from a creator.
Yeah, I bought it from an artist.
It's not something easily... Yeah, an artist, right? Artist, I bought a great mug from a great artist named Miss Spice Illustrations. And I had all my lewd foods on it, right? And someone came over one night and we're hanging out. And you know that saying, I grew up this way, when guests come over, you don't let them like wash their hands or like do the dishes because they leave their bad luck in the house or something like that. I don't know. Or it's bad manners, whatever.
I thought it was just the manners. Right? I didn't know there was luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because they wash their and they leave their like, if they leave their bad luck or something like that. I don't know. Whatever. Point is, pick him over. We all had like coffee and pan dulce, whatever, and I'm in my cup. And then she decides to wash the dishes without telling us and literally like drops it like boom and it shatters in the sink. And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's cool.
Like you should be. Just kidding.
It's not a big deal. And now Elia has a shop reopened. I did see that she's promoting a new mug. So I may.
You can ring
for a new cup.
But here's the thing, though. When you say that, you think, well, it was an accident. Could have happened to anybody. But I had somebody over once where I asked, hey, you know, it's your turn. Can you do the dishes? And they were like, I don't know how. And I was like, you can do it. I believe in you. And I'm watching. And they were putting them in the drying rack. And they were just kind of like like in every random angle. And I'm like, there's literally lines for the plates, but I'm just watching. And then they get to this glass and they like looking and looking and they're trying to figure out where to put it. And there's two plates at like a V angle and they just push the glass slowly between those two plates. Ooh. And I was like,
you hear that squeak?
And squeal? Then it went, no, literally the glass went, psh,
oh,
like yeah,
right in their hands. And I was like, did you just do that so that you'd never have to wash dishes again? They were like, no, I was trying to figure out where to put it. And I'm like, I think that's why they did it.
Oh my God. They wow. grew up with a maid.
And then never do it. Did you guys know? Did you know this? Just, I don't know if, again, just the blender as my mind. My wife one time, because we have a little boy at one point. He's 15 now, 14 in the room he's playing some shenanigans. So,
yeah. He's going to be 30 and you're going to have a little boy.
I know. Anywho, when he was little, I remember something breaking like glass or something, right? And my wife freaks out. Obviously, we have a little kid. And I'm like, oh, we'll just vacuum or sweep. She goes, no, it's never going to get all the, like the microscopic glass. You walk yeah. around barefoot, what have you, you know? And in my yeah. head, I remember that scene from Seinfeld where the Moyle loses his mind when Elaine almost drops the cup off the... Anyways, if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. So... my wife grabbed a piece of bread and she took the bread, like the Wonder Bread, let's say, and literally just put it on the floor and just like swathed the floor with the bread to collect any microscopic pieces of the,
I could really see the logic to that.
Yeah.
So if you guys ever break something and you have some bread and you're worried, you know, cause dog, and we have pets, you know, walk around barefoot, bread. There you go.
Oh yeah.
Alternative option: have somebody over that you're not very fond of, and ask them to walk around barefoot.
Dangerous, dangerous game. Dangerous game.
Dangerous game as well, though.
Yeah, it's true. You'll find it at that point, and then they won't come over anymore. Two for one. I'm trying to fix my mic here. All right, there it is. Well, guys, let's jump into tonight. We've been watching, consuming different things. Kevin, you were at South by Southwest.
Yep.
You ignored the podcast. You didn't write us.
I was
you ditched everybody to go watch movies.
I did write you. But I was busy doing 20 different things. I had 3 field trips with my students all in the same week. I had South by Southwest, which I both work and attend. And I had the last week of my Kickstarter. I was a little bit busy last week.
No excuses.
Two out of the three of that, Ilya, sound important to me.
Hey, one of those that I feel is not super important is just attending South by Southwest. Everything else there, I was doing things.
Nah, you're doing it, Kevin. You out there.
You be the Kevin Garcia in your life.
Hell yeah.
Kevin,
tell us about South by Southwest. What did you watch? What did you do?
Yeah.
Well, so I was saying there's movies that I watched that I probably wouldn't have otherwise. Like I saw Roadhouse. Which, I mean, I knew it was going to be fun, but I don't generally go to action movies that aren't going to be like sci-fi or romance or something else as well. Not one that's just pure action, but it was action and it was funny. It was really good. It's one of those things where I can't believe they did a remake of it, but at the same time, it was a lot of fun. It was like ridiculous.
It's hard to replace Patrick Swayze, everybody.
It really is. And it's unfair to compare it to the other because you can't. Not everybody can be Patrick Swayze, except for Patrick Swayze. But Gyllenhaal did a great job being both creepy and charming. So there's that. I saw the most impactful movie I saw the entire time was another one that I probably wouldn't have watched if I hadn't been there. It's called My Dead Friend Zoe, and it's about a soldier who comes home from Afghanistan and has just their friend who is dead just constantly talking in her ear, you know, telling, making comments on things, being sarcastic, telling jokes. It's funny, but it's also every single person at theater was bawling by the end. Like they were just crying. It was really good. And part of why I wouldn't have watched it is, you know, it's made, I knew it was made by a veteran, and actually most of the actors in the movie, not the main cast, but most of the actors in the movie are also veterans. And you're thinking, well, I don't want to see something that's just military propaganda, but this isn't a movie about the military. It's a movie about the soldiers. And I was like, that's significant. It's a really well done movie. Also, it's got a crazy good cast. Like Apparently the director said that he wrote a letter to Ed Harris saying, maybe you'd want to be in this. And Ed Harris immediately said yes. And I'm guessing like everyone else was like, oh, Ed Harris is going to be there. I'll be there. Cause it's like a new director and he got this amazing cast. What else did I see? I saw a romantic dramedy about time travel, which is, you know, that's more my thing. Sci-fi stuff.
Called, I like time travel.
Called Greatest Hits. And it's about a woman who time travels to points in her life based on music she hears.
That sounds cool.
It is. And again, it's a romantic dramedy. So you're going to get a lot of that kind of situation, but it's really good. I think that one's going to get a limited release. There is no release yet for my dead friend, Zoe. What else did I see? I saw Babes, which is the new movie by the star of Broad City, which is really funny. On the downside, I'll say it felt like I was just watching a long episode of Broad City. But on the upside, I was watching a long episode of Broad City. So
yeah,
like that goes both ways. It felt like I was watching a TV show, but it was really funny. So, you know, it works.
I miss Broad City.
Yeah.
That should sell it for me.
Was her name? Ilana?
Ilana
Glazer, right?
It's the curly hair. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Ilana. Yeah.
Abby.
Because Abby's the voice of Bean on Disenchantment, I think. Yeah.
Ilana Glazer. Yeah, she's really good. And again, she's honestly, she always plays the same character, but she's good at that character. So
good. Yeah. Dude, I watched her smoke pot and play Mario Brothers one time on stream for like
again
two she hours. Just it was amazing.
Every movie. So there you go.
Yeah, it was awesome. That. I loved it.
I also saw a movie that was good, but I can't earnestly recommend.
Me and Elliot like,
oh, no.
Yeah. So it's a horror of comedy, but it's called I Saw the TV Glow, and it's actually very well done. It's you guys know what creepypastas are, right?
Yeah.
The whole movie is a creepypasta. That's all it is. It's a creepypasta. That's set in like late 90s, older teenage Nickelodeon, you know, like that kind of a setting, but
like right up my alley
and
liminal space.
Yes. All liminal spaces and stuff. But also like literally in the TV shows, but without ever calling it Nick, they call it the Young Adult Network. But the issue is that the director flat out said before we watched the movie that there is a subtext metaphor about gender identity in the movie. And the reason I can't fully recommend it is that I think that message should have been clearer. And also I have known a lot of people with not talking about gender right now, talking about other kinds of things where they don't have a grasp on reality. And whenever I see a movie like this, that basically says your version of reality is confirmed, I worry that somebody who has those issues will watch a movie like that and say, this is proof. Because it doesn't have the strong ending that I really was hoping it would have. I cannot say it's not a well done movie. It's very well done.
I mean, enough of what you've said and who I see on the cast gets me interested.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's really good. And the main actor, amazing. The whole thing.
Justice Smith.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. And it was funny because last year at South By, I saw him play a character in Dungeons & Dragons, which is about people in a fantasy world put together by people in the real world. And in this movie, he's somebody who believes in the fantasy world in the real world. So like, you know, he's got a trend going at South By. Yeah. He's good at it, though.
Jumping off of that, since you saw cool movies, I saw two movies kind of ties into this. Now, they're not South By Southwest films. These are like mainstream releases, and Justice Smith is in a movie currently called The American Society of Magical Negroes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I haven't watched it yet.
This movie, me and my wife watched this movie, and we were borderline tearing up in it. Hmm. It's a romance. It's a very satire, of course, regarding on it, but they even explain at the beginning of the film that the term magical Negro is used as a token, you know, in films to help come rescue the white people, come help the white people.
And the term
Kevin will elaborate.
The term comes from TV Tropes, which is a website that where people like basically fan community got together and just kind of as a gestalt entity decided on terms for things. And that was one of the terms from that website. And it is surprisingly accurate, you know, for a lot of films.
But this film, I recommend it 100% because it does have a great message behind it. David Alan Greer is in this film as well. And I love Dag. He's a comedian, but he just has range too. Very nice. And Justice Smith in this film, like, it literally is the premise is that this group of African Americans in they've been doing it since hundreds and hundreds of years, to where they do everything they can to make the white community less nervous about people of color. Okay. Because when they're nervous or uneasy, that's when people get hurt. That's when things go wrong. People get shot. Accusations happen, you know, like people's lives get ruined, you know, it's just because the white police fragility. Officer had a bad day.
It's because of white fragility.
Fragility. Thank you. Yeah. And there's a scene towards the end that I'm not going to spoil, but when you hear the speech in so many words, just realizing that existing is okay. Like that kind of, and it's just like really heartfelt. It's a romantic movie as well, by the way. There is a love interest in there. That's great. I don't want to give much away because I really think you should go check it out. I know we're skipping ahead to stuff recommending, but we're talking about movies.
I like this.
Where is it streaming?
It's not streaming. It's in theaters. Theatrical release.
On that, yeah.
And awesome, awesome film.
I will say, yeah, a lot of the movies I mentioned are either streaming or going to be streaming soon.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to theaters. The two last movies that I saw are ones that are definitely going to theaters well before they get streaming. That is Monkey Man and Civil War.
Monkey Man, I'm excited about, by the way. Yep. So cool. I love Dev Patel.
Me too.
I want to see that movie so bad. Because it looks so insane. The trailers look so good.
It's his directorial debut, and it is definitely everything that you're hoping for. I do have one minor reservation for it, but it is nothing about the quality of the story or the action. Like, it's definitely well put together action movie.
One movie I watched, which I did a review on, I think I'm going to skip ahead here, but since we're talking movies, we'll get movies out of the way. Okay. We're going to have more topics, but I watched Imaginary, which is the Blumhouse movie about a teddy bear. Not the IF is Imaginary Friend.
Right.
That's coming out later this month, I think, or end of the month. Ryan Reynolds, more family oriented, at least. But this movie is not worth your time.
Oh,
I feel like I sat down not expecting everything. I mean, don't get me wrong. Me and my kid love watching horror movies, and even we understand there's an asterisk to saying it's a good bad movie, you know, because these are some good bad movies and some horror movies. You kind of know what you're walking into. But this was sold in the idea that an imaginary friend kind of takes a turn, right? And it's kind of over. It's been done before. It's nothing amazing. But this film was the first horror movie that I literally had to look at my watch and go, is it over yet?
Damn.
Because in horror movies, you can kind of feel, okay, it's about to end. You know, okay, it's just second act, third act, here we go. It's going to kind of come down now. It kept doing weird, like we're coming up. We plateau, and we're coming up, plateau. Hey, here's a weird turn, but we never address it again. And the dialogue in there feels like it was written by AI. It was very, like, monotone and, like, hey, you're going to play the asshole teenage daughter and you're going to have attitude. And she did that. And then the main characters, I didn't buy the family dynamic. I didn't buy it. And it didn't look that good. It looked like a Goosebumps episode from TV.
Oh,
and I forgive a lot of things as long as the content is good, right? It doesn't have to look pretty. Yeah. As long as the writing's there and there's a story, the concept was there. To be able to play in someone's imagination, you know, like Freddy Krueger, right? You can do whatever you want in those movies because imagination, dream world. Mm-hmm. This one was limited. There was no payoff. It was like, it was teasing me. It was so much foreplay and no excitement at the end. You know what I mean? There was no win. We walked out of there. All of us were disappointed. So,
So what you're saying is we all need to go watch it right now.
I know. Now I'm like, no. I don't want to. No.
If you want to watch it just to talk shit, I'm there. But to sit down and like and enjoy a fun horror movie, no dice. No yeah. dice.
So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say real quick on Imaginary. So that one's came out. And then there's also this, the IF one with Ryan Reynolds. And somebody asked the other day, you know, what are the odds of these two coming out around the same time? And I have a theory on that. And that is there was this this art piece about a teddy bear protecting a little boy from a I'm sharing a screen right now. So if you want to share a screen, that's what I'm getting at. About a teddy bear protecting a little boy who's sleeping from a nightmare monster. And this guy posted it on DeviantArt like 10 years ago. And not even like that, less than 10 years ago. And it was just, it went viral. It was very big. Ooh. And studios actually optioned it, right? But I honestly think what happened is the studios realized there's no technical story here and you can't own the copyright on teddy bears and imaginary creatures. So they decided to just move forward with it without this concept, because I feel like neither of those movies that are coming out this year is based on this, right? So all I could think is that like it made me think of Sherlock, right? Because the BBC had Sherlock, and then the American station was going to option it to make an American version of it. They realized, wait a minute, it's public domain. We don't have to do that. And so Elementary was made without paying anybody at BBC. So you know,
No, but yeah, that. Don't watch it. Ella, you were going to say something before
Kevin because we're going. No, it's all good. I was just going to go into like movies because Ray is my partner, is helping me watch movies that I've never seen before. And this past weekend, we did two. One I loved, one I absolutely hated. I'll start with the one that I love first. Silence of the Lambs. I'd never seen it. I know. Good choice. It's good. I love horror when done well. That was just my introduction.
That movie's a little bit of everything, isn't it?
It's a little bit of everything.
It's just like Law and Order cannibalism. I'm like, sold. Okay, let's go.
I'm on board.
No, it was just so good. Jodie Foster slays.
I was such a big fan of Jodie Foster around that time. I mean, I still am, but I mean, like, she had a lot of movies following her career.
She's in The True Detective right now, latest season of True Detective. Mm-hmm. She's so good in that one, too.
I love Signs of the Lambs, and now I'm like, I just want to watch the rest of the Hannibal series because
Red Dragon.
Yeah.
It was hard.
You know what? Man. There's also, I can't remember the name of it right now, Mind something, but there's the first Silence of the Lambs movie, which was made before Silence of the Lambs, and is not really considered part of the thing because it doesn't have any of the actors or anything, but it's the first version of the Red Dragon story in a different film.
Gotcha. Yeah. Good. No, but I loved good. It. I think it may be on like my top 15 at least. Like I thought it was really good.
That's great.
I don't know the name of the actor, but the one who played the doctor. Oh, he sets skills. Yeah, I can't think of his name right now.
Anthony Hopkins, right?
You're not talking about Anthony Hopkins,
right? Oh my god.
I think that Anthony Hopkins kid is going places.
Yeah. I think he's
got a good career ahead. I just couldn't remember his name.
Yeah.
No, really.
All
good.
Week I couldn't remember Ed Harris's name. I kept calling him Ed Helms all week. I don't know why I was doing that.
Not Ed Helms.
They're not the same person. They really aren't.
Didn't he ride the bus to the Oscars? Yeah. Isn't that what he does every year?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's Ed Begley Jr. No, it's a different guy.
Someone does. See? With his daughter.
White people.
They're all Eds. I don't know.
What about the other side of that coin?
So I love pirates. I tolerate musicals sometimes. So Ray was like, let's watch Pirates of Penzance. Yay. And because like I've heard the soundtrack, it's been on my Pandora because I'm a former theater person. So of course, like I heard the music. I'm like, yeah, the music's lit. Let's watch it. I was like so into it until the last like 15 minutes. And then, like, the twist where everyone was like, I'm not going to be a pirate. We're all going to get married in the town, save the government, and yay, the military. I'm like, the fuck?
Well, wait, is this one of those...
That's a big turn.
Hold on. I don't actually know the history behind this film. Is this one of those things like Little Shop of Horrors, where they change the ending to make it more palatable to mass audiences?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
It's around that time. It was like an 84, 85 film, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, because with Little Shop of Horrors, they just flat out cut the entire ending and gave it a happy ending because audiences were sad and they didn't want the audience to be sad.
Oh, I guess I haven't seen the happy ending one. I love the horrific ending.
Of so Little Shop of Horrors?
Yeah.
The one you saw is the happy ending.
Yeah, the one you saw is the happy ending.
Yeah.
Oh, lol.
It's like they changed it.
Yeah, you can find clips of it. The clip of it exists, but I don't think they made a version of it where they edited the original ending into the movie.
It's like my whole thing with Born in East L.A. If I ever get to talk to Cheech Marin, every film that you watch, every copy of it now cuts off like the last 15 minutes of that movie, and it just makes it doesn't make any sense. He goes from being on a hill to getting married in the next scene over. Like, there was a whole other thing that happened between that.
Yeah.
It changes films. But I'm glad you watched a good movie, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what else is on the list?
There's so many. I think The Last Samurai is one that they really want to
watch
next. Yeah.
I'm being sarcastic. It's actually an okay movie.
It's actually
a good movie. It's just one of those movies that was like, did you need to make that? I don't know.
Well, it's hard with me because like I don't have like a favorite genre. I don't have this, but I'm very much if I don't like it, I'm gonna say I don't like it. And yeah, so we'll see. Tune in next week for the report of the new movies I'm watching.
There we go, Elia. Hey, you're consuming new stuff. We're excited about that. Let's talk about what we've been watching. And one of the big things this week that we've been talking about offline here and kind of me and Elia and Kevin, too, he did some of the homework.
I did.
Is the documentary, the ID Discovery documentary, four-part documentary, Don Max, called Quiet on Set, which brings up a lot of the, if you are from this era, me and Elia kind of shared an interest in it, of Nick and the Disney Channel and 90s, you know, live action TV shows geared towards kids and animation. You've already known some of this stuff has been alleged about, you know, Dan Schneider and the whole Nick crew that ran all these shows like The Amanda Show, Drake and Josh, iCarly, everything from images of feet to kids being put in tough predicaments, but won't dig into that. But the documentary came out and it was a four-parter and the internet is a buzz, you know, because this is the first time that it's actually been put in a format, a film that's actually been seen mass release that wasn't somebody's YouTube essay or, right. You know, hearsay, things like that, right?
Because I am a literal old man, and I'm the oldest one in the group. These shows were all kind of after my time as far as watching Nickelodeon goes. But I did watch iCarly because I was teaching high school and I wanted to see what the kids were seeing. And I thought at the time that it was fairly well written, but I kind of literally glossed over a lot of the scenes that are very obviously there. And you mentioned YouTube reviews. I've been watching this channel called Quentin Reviews, where he does these 3 and 4 and 5 hour essays about TV shows. And he did several about that era. And in each of the episodes, each of his deep dives, he's talking about the shows and like subtext and all the stuff's there. But whenever it would get to the topic of the producer, he'd say, that's for somebody more qualified than me to talk about, but we're putting that aside, you know? And I respect that. This documentary was that more qualified person to talk about it, I guess. So yeah, these are the
professors. Agreed. That's a great way to put it because, yeah. I mean, Elia, me and you talked about it. We kind of joke about certain scenarios, but reality, like this stuff is pretty serious. Stuff is pretty hard, you know, and it triggers a lot of people's, you know, emotions. And if it's not something you're interested in, definitely don't watch it at all. I mean, it's not going to do anything good for you. Major, like. Mm-hmm. But those that are interested, those that are informed, right? All it did was shine more of a light on the things that we've already been digging into and listening to and watching, right?
And the biggest thing other producers didn't want to talk about.
Exactly. Yeah. And the one thing that threw me, and Elia, chime in here because I'm going to start just gobbling up time. But
no, dude, once you get me to start, I'm not going to shut up.
And Kevin, you saw some of it too. I can't get over some of the things that these actors were forced to do or expected to do just to be on the producers or whoever decided a good side and to be on television. And
yeah,
I'm not going to go explicit, but I'm just saying things like Nose Boy, you know, if those have
that one is so loaded. And the idea that you'd have an agent tell the mother, just go along with it for your kid's career.
Yeah. The fact that that was repetitive, and like, I know you only watched the first two episodes, or not even, but like,
yeah, I watched first. Yeah,
it kept going. All these parents were like, I didn't want to harm my child's reputation. I didn't want to hurt their chances at more roles, bigger things. I'm like,
so here's what may surprise you. I expected that part. I knew a lot of that part of the story from other things. What I didn't expect, and this is going to sound kind of weird, were the adult victims. Like, I knew about the kid victims, which is why I was already kind of put off by this. But like, the writers. These shows were made in an era when sexual harassment was a buzzword. It wasn't the Me Too movement yet, but it was already fully aware that this was a thing, and yet nothing had happened. Like, it was like the world knew that this is a problem and that supposedly businesses everywhere were looking for it, and it didn't make a difference. And that
two women writers that were in there, and again, we're talking about it we're tiptoeing around it, but we're going to spoil stuff. If you're going to go watch it and enjoy it, but we're going to try to avoid
it. It's not even spoilers at this point. This is reality.
Reality. True stories, just that they put it all together one place.
The two women writers, the fact that just beyond the obnoxious and disgusting stuff they had to go through, right? But the fact that just walking into as a business, they're like, oh, hey, you're going to share a salary between these two women had to share a salary.
Seriously. And like, then the minute that one of them reported it, they laid one off.
And the way they talked about it, it wasn't even necessarily reporting. It's just that it came up in conversation, which is going to happen.
And because everyone played dirty, I don't know. So I've been following the Nickelodeon, the behind the scenes scandal stuff since probably 2015, around 2015, when like Amanda Bynes first started like showing out in public after her breakdowns and all that, and no one was believing her, so she went down where she went, and it sucks because it's like, I grew up, Nickelodeon was what I grew up with, because like I didn't get Disney Channel until like around the time Hannah Montana came out. That was like the rich people channel. I grew up with Nickelodeon. All That was one of my favorite shows. It was my dream to be on All That. I love the Amanda Show. Amanda Bynes, I wanted to be her, like just a girl in comedy. She's got her own show. She's doing funny roles. And so once I started hearing like this is all that was happening, like at the expense of them providing happiness for our childhoods, my heart just like out of my chest. It's like, what? You know? Drake Bell.
Yeah. Talk about Drake Bell.
Oh my God. So Drake's journey has been a journey. And then before this doc came out and everything came out about what happened with him, he was definitely like someone that like, you know, the girlies looked up to, you know. He was a stud. He was everything, and then he just like disappeared off the face of the planet. Again, no one knew anything about what had happened. And then, oh, hold up. camera just got blurry.
Take a sec.
What it is, it's a dramatic filter. As you
speak, no, it's the drama.
As
oh
you
yeah, it's the drama.
Emotional thing, drama. The camera says no.
Okay, you're good.
There you go.
I know. Yeah.
As soon as you said Drake Bell, it fuzzed.
I know the camera was like, oh no, no, no.
No, not Drake Bell.
I know, not Drake Bell. And like, once I graduated from like high school, I'd kind of like forgotten about like the whole Nick world. You know, I had to be my adult self, and then all this stuff just started popping up again, and it made me want to like look up, oh, what's everyone up to now? And I found out that Drake had been accused of many things, which some ended up being true. I still will hold adult Drake accountable for those. Absolutely. But yeah. But like, he had moved to Mexico and rebranded himself as Drake Campana. And like the literal translation, I'm like, what is going on? Like, what is happening? Drake is in Mexico. Drake is a Mexican superstar, a pop music star. Like, okay. And like, he still is. He still primarily has a Mexican base. But I was just like, what is going on? This is weird. And then, of course, the court cases pop up, everything. And I don't know. He always, from the moment I rediscovered him in like, this was like 2020. Because it was like during the pandemic when these cases started popping up.
It was always like, creepy.
Yeah. And it was like, something's up. Something's up. Never did I think that was what happened. As soon as they got to the end of episode 2, they were describing everything in detail about a specific child on set having encountered very, very unspeakable acts from a 42-year-old production person. And they were describing all these things, and I'm just sitting there mortified. And they're like, yeah, this was a kid on the show. And then lo and behold, Drake comes out and it was him. And I'm like,
yeah, mind blown.
Whoa.
For real.
That was him. And so at the end of the day, he talked about it like in the later episodes that he just started getting therapy. Like, my man's like 37. And that was something he dealt with when he was 14, 15. Yeah, that's what happens when you don't break the cycle and you don't get help. None of these kids had like no adults except for maybe a couple that caught it late at like protecting them. And I think that's something crazy about the industry. I don't know if it's better now because I'm not part of that world. But like back then, all like the most of the kids that were providing entertainment for us were going through it and no one was there to protect them. And I don't know if there still is anyone to protect them. Like, I know,
you know what it
that
is.
This documentary is out. Yeah, what's
no, and it's hard to stop you, but I think it just hit me right now because I'm like, we get so impacted by it because I think there's a little bit of guilt as an adult.
As having
going back and thinking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're like, I enjoyed this, and because I enjoyed it, it perpetuated it. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel that way. It's like, damn.
I want to ask a really difficult question. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that even before this, even before Last of Us is well known, going back to The Wizard of Oz, it was well known that child stars are not going to have a great career in the future. And now that's not everybody. There are those exceptions, you know, the Elijah Woods out there, you know, people that were child stars and did well later. But is there a need for child actors for a child audience? Like in other words, obviously there needs to be safeguards. Obviously there needs to be more protection. There needs to be more oversight. Like, you know, there are people who try to get around the oversight of the working hours because children aren't supposed to work certain hours. People get around that.
They hire twins, right?
They put
double up on the hours.
They hire twins. They put a school in there. Say technically their school hours are here. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the thing is that like, is it one of those things where we should just say, no, this industry shouldn't exist, or should it exist in some form for those younger audiences like you guys were when you were kids?
You know, I think it's possible that you don't need kids. We've got the Wiggles right now, all adults. You've got, I don't know what her name is, but the one that like talks to kids on TikTok or YouTube. She's really, I don't know her name, but she's a grown ass woman.
But you like, know, you have like the Yo Gabba Gabbas and stuff like that.
They didn't need kids there.
Yeah. So I mean, I think it's possible.
They had segments with kids, but
Yeah. And like, I get, once you get to like television, like sitcom television, there's going to be kids that exist in environments, but that's why like there needs to be responsible adults that protect children. But, and it's not just like the entertainment industry. Lots of things do not protect the safety of children. Like, it's like, no one cares about children once they're born, you know, that people care so much about the children. And then it's like, okay, it's up to the parents.
I think Kevin's yeah. statement is it's big, man, because if you think about it, Gelia said, if we go back and kind of dial it back and go, okay, for the basic security, the way things are, even grown as adults don't have protections half the time.
Yeah.
Speaking about mental abuse mm-hmm. and how you're treated emotionally, look at the writers in the writer's room, you know, all that, like that type of treatment. But if I'm going to write a movie and it happens to include a family that has a kid, now I got to write it out. And I go, well, am I losing something because I don't have the kid in this shot?
Or, I mean, or Tom Welling was still playing a teenager when he was 27, so.
Okay, a teenager, but if I need a 10-year-old, right, like, you know?
Everyone on Glee was like at least 30. Yeah. No, yeah.
True, but in the industry, I think it's one of those things that we know exists, mm-hmm. like that veil, the behind the curtain, the aforementioned Wizard of Oz, like that curtain of like there's stuff going on behind it that you don't want to see. Yeah. And we know that it's there, and we've all accepted that it's there. Sadly, it's there. I don't know
the right.
I don't know the right answer, to be real with
you. Exactly.
It's
because there's like no heart in Hollywood, you know. And it, I don't know. It once you enter Hollywood and entertainment, money. It's money, feelings, personal health, personal space. I feel like. As long as the movie gets made, everything is at the expense of it. And it's just like, you know?
I don't know. I think that we'll revisit this stuff on the line. I know that it's something that, I mean, it's just there. It's something that's out there in the conversation. And it stinks that this has happened. Yeah. And
happening to some extent. I mean, I ideally not as it was, but like, it's not hard to believe that kid actors today still face hurdles. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not hard to believe that females in male dominated industries don't still mm-hmm. face hurdles.
Mm-hmm. All I'll say as like a little like peace ending is like, if you're one of the type of people, that's like, well, I want to hear so-and-so's story. I want to hear so-and-so's story. No one's entitled to it. People will share it when they're comfortable.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, celebrities are people too. They don't need to be worshipped, but they do need to be respected. That's my perspective on it. But I'm just a humble little Dallas girl. So
you may be a humble Dallas girl, but you're also a masterful comic artist. So your opinions are valid.
Oh, shit.
Very valid. Very valid. Primo, let's take a quick break, get a drink, get some water, some tea, some coffee, whatever you like. And we'll be right back. Welcome back, Primos. Thanks so much for hanging in there with us. We're on the other side of that storm. I don't know how to segue to X-Men, Kevin.
Well, here we are. I mean, like, it's raining where I'm at in Texas. It's been raining where you guys are in Texas. We are a small state, you know, I know, but there is rain everywhere.
Tiny. The tiniest
I live in Central
state.
Texas, apparently. So.
Oh, yeah. You know.
need it here too. Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
But Kevin Garcia, since me and you are big Marvel fans, and Elia is like,
wait, have I ever talked fringe. To a Marvel fan before? I don't remember. I don't think. How'd you know?
Do you even
about?
Like Marvel?
I mean,
do you know what Marvel is?
Like, for you to assume.
Don't assume my fandom.
Okay. You know what? Let me be quiet. Let me back up.
No.
I like comic books and cartoons. Whoa.
Yo, put 'em down. What a nerd.
Put them down.
Yeah, I got my Wolverine claws ready.
Heck yeah.
Whoa, you literally have claws.
Okay, but you know what would be so cool, though? If you, like, did kebabs with those.
You know,
Dude, are they, like, legit? Like,
those, yeah.
Metal?
Yeah.
Yeah, these are metal. Oh, these are metal claws.
You can legally you open carry them? Those in Texas.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
I'm impressed, Kevin Garcia. Yeah. So we're talking about X-Men 97.
So like,
Kevin Garcia is excited about it.
Like Luffy things as Elia Maria does, but I have a few of these things.
She has chopper things and buggy things.
Chopper things. Yeah, X-Men 97 came out. This is one
that
people have been excited about. Elia, most of all, has been chomping at the bit, saying she really wants to see X-Men because it's her whole life, right, Elia? Is that correct?
I love X-Men so much.
Oh, yes. The look of the pain in your face as you say that.
Can you name three X-Men, not including Wolverine?
No.
That's okay.
Hold on. Right. Let's see.
Hold on.
Was Samuel L. Jackson one of them?
No, but he could have been.
You know, I'm not a Marvel person. I think
that's okay. That's okay. So
I'll help you with one.
Honestly, Elia, I'm glad you said that because. That's actually part of my concern. Because here's the thing. The cartoon's great. It's a really great show. They did an amazing job picking up where the previous show left off. And they both have updated animation, and yet it's still very much inspired by the older animation. But I feel like this is a very specific audience they're going for. Like, they're just going for those 30 to 45-year-olds who grew up with X-Men cartoons. What about younger demographics? I feel like there's a lot of other, again, I'm not one to look a gift horse in the mouth. I am a massive fan of this. I watched every episode when it came out when I was a kid. I remember I think it was the fourth season that they aired in prime time on Friday night, the premiere. And I was like, oh, it must be good if they're going to give it a prime time. And then you had Morlocks show up and Lady Deathstrike. And I was like, oh, it's intense. And the thing is that's cool for me. And people that within, you know, a few years of me, but at the same time, what about, you know, there's always this nostalgia.
My 14-year-old, they watched it with me.
Well, fair, but like, I do feel like
he didn't. I'm with you, Kevin. I'm stepping on your point, I think. But
okay, go ahead.
I'll be the chikume of the night. What I'm changing to is, I agree with you because me and my wife grew up with it. And we didn't have, this is the thing though, like going a little bit back on the further conversation, I didn't get to watch Nick stuff till way later because I didn't have cable at all.
Yeah.
So I would watch the stuff they would allow on, because they would allow some Nick shows to go on regular syndication on TV.
Yeah.
They would actually like pay for certain episodes. I'd watch them on TV, what have you, but Fox, everybody had Fox. So yeah. We watched that. But my kid watched the first episode, for example, and he's like, the animation's, like, why is there this filter that I just don't kind of mesh with? I said, okay, I see it. Yeah, I wish it was more saturated. You know, he wanted a little brighter because it lends itself to a very 80s, 90s aesthetic. You want those sharp
Honestly,
colors.
The,
you know?
The animation is what your memory tells you the animation looked like. Like, it's not actually what it looked like in the 80s and 90s, but it's what you want to think it did when you look back on your memories. So they did a good job with that.
I saw that. You know, he said it looks like a weird filter, he said.
Yeah.
But he sat through the first episode. And like you said exactly, Elia, you're not, unless you watched the whole series, it literally picks up right after that series ends.
Yep.
And so you walk in like, what did I walk into? So my son, though, I had to sit with him and go, oh, this is what happened. This is Master Mold. this is what that is. I had to give him abbreviated little tidbits. So when episode 2 happened, he was actually in. He's like, whoa.
Yeah, they this do is catch a better episode. Quick. They do catch you up. I grant them that. You don't have to watch the old show to get it. Part of that helps that it's been like 12 months in universe since the last episode. So they can have an excuse to talk about things that happened. So that works out. Also, there's also weird little updates. Like Storm has a very cool, she's got her kind of Mohawk haircut.
Storm!
Which, yes.
I know Storm.
Storm is one of them.
And
then another one.
Hey, Halle Berry was one.
Bishop. And Bishop actually has a slightly more modern haircut than he had at the time, which makes sense because he's a time traveler. So he could have a haircut from the future. But yeah, and also they've updated characters like Jubilee actually looks Chinese now. Like she looks like a real human being and not like a cartoon white girl whose last name is Lee. You know?
There's an angel too, right? Okay, okay. Someone's in a wheelchair. Okay, okay. He's from Star Trek. Star Trek's in a wheelchair.
Mystic.
Okay, yeah, got that one. Okay, so Halle Berry.
Patrick Stewart, who you're thinking of.
Patrick Stewart.
I was muted, so I couldn't say anything.
Angel. The angel.
He's just called Angel.
Rogue.
Rogue, yes.
I need one more, and then I pass the test.
Remember,
I'm a real Marvel fan.
You are a real Marvel fan in the sense that you are a fan of pop culture and we accept you.
Yay. Oh, and then I was going to ask, as someone who didn't consume X-Men, if I sat down to watch this series, do I need to watch or read any predecessors?
Honestly, let me ask you one question as somebody who doesn't watch or consume the series. Do you know who Magneto is?
Is that the guy in the wheelchair?
No, the guy in the wheelchair is Professor X. He's Patrick Stewart.
Okay.
But the guy that he's always playing chess with in the movies, that's Magneto.
Okay.
So,
Helmet?
Helmet guy.
Yeah.
So the issue...
It was Gandalf, wasn't he?
Because the part that you'd have to get into is that they explain a lot of it to you. But one of the things they don't explain to new viewers is that they have a long history with this guy, Magneto. He was their main enemy for all of, since these guys, the characters in universe, were 15 years old to being 30 years old, Magneto was their main enemy. So imagine 15 years of your life fighting this guy. And it turns out he was at one point in time best friends with their teacher slash father figure. And now that their teacher slash father figure is apparently dead and out of the picture, he asked in his will, Magneto, can you take care of my family? So basically, these guys are being told, you know, the enemy that you've spent your entire life training to fight is now your new dad. And it's interesting.
You know what? Plot. I like it.
There you go. That's plot right there.
Oh, yeah. My son, once he understood the basics from episode 1 and what, because they do a good job of, an example, Rogue, right?
Yeah.
Hey, if I touch somebody, they'll pass out, and they literally explain everybody's power.
Sorry, so, I'm laughing because the writer that made X-Men famous in the 80s, Chris Claremont, he was famous for literally explaining everybody's powers in every single issue. So Rogue would come up, if I touch you, Sugar, I'm gonna do this, and then literally the next episode, if I touch you, Sugar, it would happen like this. Like every episode, every issue would do that. So it's kind of funny. And they call it Claremontism in the fandom.
It's pretty to watch.
It's very pretty to watch.
Kevin, is it because it's 2024 that I don't have that I'm like, hold on, Wolverine's missing some abs, because I remember him being very fit, and then now I'm like,
well, in the old show they had him a little bit shiny whenever he was shirtless, and now they're
shiny
that he's got body hair, so it's a little bit different. Whereas Gambit is the new shirtless guy for this series, so he's the guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's pretty to watch.
Adults having their
well drawn, well animated. A lot of the computer and hand drawn stuff mixed together. It looks really good. I would definitely check it out if you're curious about it. If they don't get you by episode 2, it's not for you. It's fine.
Okay.
Like that's, honestly, that's fair. That's honestly fair. I will say that the original show tried to get into some of the more mature themes that, like, say, Batman the Animated Series very successfully did, and it never quite got to that level. I think with this revival series, they're definitely doing that. They're definitely getting into those more mature themes, not making an adult cartoon. It's still a family-oriented cartoon, but, like, definitely dealing with those family, those mature themes, rather. I will say, though, if Marvel's going to bring back any show, I really want them to bring back Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. That was a cartoon that came out between the first Avengers movie, and it was canceled right before Age of Ultron came out. And it only had two seasons, and they were, like, the best two seasons of animation that Marvel had ever done. And it got canceled just because some higher-up producer was like, we need a new show that promote Age of Ultron. And that was such a dumb idea. It was such
I just show. Need Biker Mice from Mars to come back on TV.
Oh, Grant, so. I mean, that goes without saying. That goes without saying.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't think there is anyone out there.
Giant mice on motorcycles.
A biker mice. You get a little antennas.
Fighting a guy that lives in a giant house made of cheese.
When they are both anthropomorphic mice and they have antennas to point out that they're from Mars, it's everything you need in a show.
Genius.
That's all it takes. That's all it takes, man. I mean, because my kid and me were talking. We're like, what cartoons did you watch growing up? And he's like, I watched a lot more Cartoon Network than I did Nickelodeon.
I need to tell you about Street Sharks.
Street Sharks. Get ready. Buckle up. Street Sharks. Anyways, I mean, Biker Mice from Mars, Street Sharks, that was my youth too. Ninja Turtles, of course. But X-Men 97, I mean, to be real, like, it really hits the nostalgia button pretty hard. And I enjoy it. My wife enjoyed it. And she's a tough cookie sometimes with stuff. She's like, I'm not bothering with this. You can enjoy it all you want. She's like, I'm not watching this. But here we are. X-Men.
Okay.
I like it. I like it. And plus, I even said something to my son. I was like, and this is where, if you're a fan, you're going to get it, and Kevin's going to get it, where before the ending of the second episode, I'm like, well, we started talking about, oh, Magneto, right? Okay, he's turned a leaf. And I go, oh, but you have him as Mr. Sinister. And then we get the reveal of somebody showing up. And I'm like, oh, that's where we're going with this. So,
well, the other thing I want to say is, even if you're like a casual fan, if you like Storm and you want to see Storm at her most goddess level, watch episode one, you know? And if you want to see Storm at her most emotionally intense, watch episode two. These are reasons to watch the show. It's kind
of very good. Go check it out if you're a fan, and not maybe just give it an episode or two. And if you don't catch on, like me, my thing is like with anime, right? If you can't get me hooked by the third episode, I'm not watching you anymore. That's just the rule for me.
I gotta say, definitely check it out. As somebody who's a big comic book nerd, and I have read too many of these X-Men comics over the years.
I thought you were gonna say you have like a plaque to show it, but yeah.
Well, I've got claws. But the thing is that the old series did a really good job of representing classic storylines. They did like Dark Phoenix and stuff like that. They even tried to redo some specific scenes, but it's really neat seeing other things that maybe were coming out around the 90s or maybe earlier that haven't been addressed yet getting addressed. Like, there's a really big story involving Storm that the second I saw it, I was like, oh, they're going to tell that story. And then there's a big thing with Rogue in the comics. There was a will they, won't they with Rogue and Magneto for a while in the comics, which is, 80-year-old guy and 22-year-old girl. It happens, right? But it was actually believable in the comics, and the idea that there's stuff under the surface in the cartoons was really cool. And then, hey, I got to see a character that I wrote about for Marvel Handbooks in animation for the first time. The Executioner. That's cool. So definitely, I think I'm the audience of this show.
Hey.
Awesome. Enjoy it, primos. Let Kevin Garcia _com know your thoughts. Rolling into the end of the show, primos, we usually at this point talk about our hyperfixations, our obsessions this week, or what we're really into this week. And Mr. Kevin Garcia, since you were out last week, you'll present first, young man.
I feel like we've already talked about most of my pop culture obsessions for this week. TV shows, movies, that kind of stuff. I'm not really doing any video games right now. I haven't had a lot of that kind of free time. But in terms of stuff in the world that's on my mind this week, AI, you know, I have a creator, a writer that I know that's been posting a lot of AI images, which has been annoying a lot of people of why are you doing this when you work with artists? And then I'm in some online discussion groups about obscure combo characters. And a lot of times people in these groups will hire artists like I've done to draw a picture of a character. And there's several people that are like, well, what's wrong with me just posting AI art? So one person actually asked that, say, hey, those of you guys that are anti-AI, can you explain why? So I did. I put this big, long response. And they basically said, well, you're wrong, and then deleted the post. Because I expected
that.
Well, I mean, I expected it. I actually saved my response anyway, just because I had a feeling that was going to happen. And so then I decided to post it on TikTok and just say, well, this is me posting it now, so I know you won't delete it. And it's just It's one of those things where it's like, when people say that they're against AI art, it's not that AI can't be used in art, because we've been using it for years. You know, we use it every time you have autocorrect or your sentence prediction. That's AI. You know, there's all kinds of things. But the issue is, if let's say you just said, well, I just have this idea, I want to see what it looks like. So you're going to go into AI and get it. Well, great. And you're like, oh, I wasn't going to spend money on it. Fine. But the second you post it online, you're basically telling people, hey, look at this cool thing I had a computer do. And that's, if you were ever in a situation where you would have hired an artist, you've already tested it out and said you're not going to. And somebody else sees that and says, oh, I don't have to hire an artist either. We've fully gotten to this world where humans are going to continue doing manual labor and robots are going to be writing poetry and making art. And I don't know if that's the world I want to be in.
No, I agree. I think that AI is something that is useful in certain situations. But when you talk about creating art or writing the next Blumhouse movie, like I feel imaginary I was, you see the cracks in the work. And how can we be creative and support each other when we just let a machine do it? It loses soul, because everything you create has soul. And AI doesn't have that.
It's also not regulated either. It's not being sourced ethically. Mm-hmm. AI is being trained by stolen art.
It is.
And I don't approve.
Agreed. I've heard the argument, well, little kids will trace art. That's how they learn to draw. It's true, but a little kid is a human. And a human is going to be making stuff. And in the future, profiting. In the future, computers may be humans too, but right now they're not. You know. And that's not the same thing. Every piece of art that was used there, unless those artists explicitly said, yeah, I want to use my art to train a computer. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, not what happened.
Yep. Elliot, what about you? What's the obsession this week?
So besides trying to consume anything that I was supposed to this week, I get on TikTok a lot. And like, that's like my wind down before bed. I gotta watch some silly short form comedy to kind of wind myself down. And I've stumbled upon, and I've shown Freddie the TikToks of this realtor who is based in Laredo, and goes to Laredo and San Antonio selling houses. His name is Cesar Gutierrez. And he has found a format in order to sell these homes in a very entertaining way. He goes through the houses and just like starts describing them, but he uses like Spanglish slang. And I think what sold me is one of his first ones that popped on my feed. He used the term PPD snice. And I had not heard PPD's anyone nice. Say that in years. I'm like, last time I said that, people looked at me weird. Like, oh, it's my peepity's nice. And the way he describes everything, it's like, it's like moderno. ¿Quieres algo moderno? If it's like
moderno. Modern,
nice. Moderno. If it's something bougie, he's like, oh, it's muy mamalonskis. Mamalonsote. And it's just, I was like, stop. I don't live anywhere near like San Antonio, Laredo, but I'm about to buy a house from this guy. Just,
yeah, I need him to sell everything for me. He's hilarious. Like, I put some of the clips here so you guys can hear it.
sobre esta casa mamalona. Estamos aquí en 8723 Plantation East. Aquí no puede venir Kanye West. En las casas nuevas te ponen un arbolito. Aquí te pusieron un arbolation bien mamalation. Aquí vamos a ver que esta casa está bien moderna. La estoy bautizando la casa moderna. Aquí pueden ver el shadow bien moderno, bien mamalonskis de mi tripod. Mamalonskis. Bienvenidos a la casa moderna. Esta puerta es la Sancha Special. Abre la puerta aquí para la Jaina. Y acá sale la Sancha. Y nothing happens.
Sos chiquita.
Si andas así con los goosebumps, porque tienes que ir cagation mamalation. Cheater number Juan. Aquí de volá. De volón ping pong. Cagation mamalation. No preocupation. Aquí puedes chonear acá. Bien mamalonskis acá afuera.
It's so good. And I think it's just one of those things where I'm like, oh, Latinos making content in entertaining ways to make their business. I'm like, come on, this is great. This is amazing. I'm glad that, like, I'm glad it's not just another realtor who is just selling a house. He's selling. He's like, mira esta experiencia. Vas a tener muchas fiestas. Aquí en el living room, mamalonskis. I'm like, yeah, I will. Vas a decorar ese staircase para Christmas.
Con la carne asada.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's just, like, I follow him now because of you. Yeah. I'm gonna move to Laredo because he's gonna sell me a house. And I'm like, there.
Oh, yeah, he's doing something different. I'm all about it. Yeah. Like, do it. It's hilarious. Exactly. But I'll put a clip so the listeners can hear it and also watch it. It's hilarious.
It's like, even if you're not, but like most of the comments are like, I don't live anywhere near you, but I'd buy that house. Like, that's like, he's selling it to everybody. I'm like, go off. Yeah. So,
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I've been playing a video game and I've been bugging Elia about it. Mm-hmm. Thirsty Suitors. So this is a dating sim. And it's awesome because you play a Eastern Indian woman. She has a breakup and instead of going back home, having to navigate dealing with her mom, her dad, her sister, and a bunch of evil exes, you know? And it's a role-playing dating sim, but it's also, you skate, you do skating challenges in the game, you fight it out, you summon your mom with a giant chancla to hit the suitors. It's bright colors, it's good music, it's a lot of fun, a lot of cheeky stuff, so
I'm looking at everything now. This looks like so much fun.
It's so
great. It's hilarious dialogue. It's all voice acted. Every piece of dialogue is voice acted. It's just so well done. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm about halfway through it. And I'm building up my... Because you can choose between being a heartbreaker, being a wallflower, or being like a peacekeeper in a relationship. And I'm just leveling up like my heartbreaker one because I'm just like breaking hearts and, you know, taking them down and doing my own thing. I'm having a blast.
Thirsty I told Suitors. My community, like, because I'm in the middle of coloring my comic book right now, but I said, once we finish coloring all the characters, before we start on our background work, we're going to reward ourselves and we're going to play it on stream. So I've got it downloaded. Fun. I'm ready.
It's so much fun. And it's also, you know, very inclusive, LGBTQ, mm-hmm. and, like, it's also good about the language. And you make dishes. They teach you how to make actual food dishes.
Oh, I have seen clips of it then, because I saw clips where they did that and then they switched to the... to the dating part. Okay, so that is the one I'd heard about. It looks really good.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, it looks delicious too. I'm like, I want to make that food. It's cool. It's a lot of fun. So it keeps you just entertained. And it's not a game where you have to feel stressed playing it. You know, you will need some downtime and something to unwind with. Thirsty Suitors. Definitely fun. Been in my obsession this week.
And if you don't feel thirsty enough yet, go back and watch X-Men just for Gambit. And you're going to feel thirsty, and then you can go to Thirsty Suitors.
That's true. Thirsty Suitors. But, primos, we've come to the end of our show this week. I want to, of course, thank my hosts here with me. Ms. Elia Maria Spice Illustrations at Spice Illustrations. Mr. Kevin Garcia.com or Kevin Garcia _com. Oh, hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. Kevin.
I'm giving you that moment, Kevin. I'm just absorbing. take time. Just take
Kevin.
It.
Kevin. Kevin's like, I want to leave.
I want to leave now. Follow us at My Primos Podcast for any updates. Elia, do you have anything you want to promote, anything you want to talk about before we go?
I do. Next Saturday, a week from this Saturday, March the 30th of the year 2024, I will be a guest on Wesselhausen's channel, where I'll be part of a one-shot TTRPG. It's going to be called Mystery Business. It's kind of like Scooby-Doo-esque based, and we're raising money for Stream for a Cause. So if y'all are able to make it, it's going to start at 7 Central Standard Time. I'll have to double check that. But yes, around that time. So if y'all like tabletop games or want to watch a tabletop game, if you never watched one before, one-shots are a good way to introduce anyone to the tabletop world.
You're supposed to do a one-shot with me on D&D because I've never done a D&D campaign.
I want to get one together.
I want to be in on that when you do that. I used to
do... You want to play with me?
Okay, understand that tabletop gaming was... Or tabletop RPGs, rather, were my... I don't drink. So, like, every week, that was my outlet, you know, back when I was living in Brownsville. And since I've moved to Austin, I have not played a game. So that means... It's been years since I played a game.
Oh my God,
we're
playing.
Go. Now we have two. We have three of us.
The Primos,
I'm sure Ray
the,
will be the Primos loving table. It.
We should get like Oscar or something.
Primos table. That'd be fun. Yes. Make something happen. A whole podcast out of it. It'd be dope.
It'd be the
Kevin,
kind of
is there anything you want
to... If we had subscribers to some kind of like service they could join in on.
OnlyFans coming soon.
Coming off. You want to see Only me top Primos. This?
Oh, escándalo.
I like it.
Topless, like guys. There you go.
Hot.
Kevin, is there anything you want to promote this week before we go?
No, for once. I do have some upcoming shows, but they're still kind of in the works. I am done with the Kickstarter, so now I'm just making the book. Yes, next time we talk, I will have things to talk about.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you for listening. Always appreciate you, Primos. Wherever you are, remember, no matter where you're from, we're all Primos.
We out!
Como una rosa entre espinas salta, mi amor.